Tonight is Wednesday night, October 31st. This is the women's submission of Gemara Shir. We're in the middle of the sugya of Mitzvah Habar Baveira.
Okay, Rabbatai. We are in the middle of the sugya of Mitzvah Habar Baveira. We've seen several different opinions as to under what circumstances it is to be applied, under what circumstances it is not. And today we're going to see the Yerushalmi that offers a different perspective with an unusual case to illustrate its principle. So this is Perek Yud Gimel of Hilchot Shabbat, Mishnah Halacha Gimel. The Mishnah says, Hakoreya Bichamato Ve'al Meito Kol Hamikalkilin Piturin. Says the Mishnah of the following case. If I were to take this sheet and just rip it on Shabbos, I would violate nothing on a D'oraita level. Nothing whatsoever. Because Korea, ripping, is a destructive action. And the rule of Pinky concerning Hilchot Shabbat is that you can only be held accountable for a positive action, a constructive activity, but not a destructive activity. So this halacha of constructive versus destructive touches upon several milachot of the 39 milachot of Shabbat. Koreya is one of them. Koreya is one of the 39 milachot. But the only time that you are held accountable on a d'oraita level for Koreya is alminat litfor. Exactly. Good, excellent. Is only if you have ever engaged in knitting. I haven't. But I've seen my wife do it often. She makes something. Oh, I got to rip it out. It's some, I don't know why. But she has to rip it out.
Skip a stitch.
Whatever it is, she has to rip it out. So once she has to rip it out, what's the reason why she's ripping it? Because she's going to redo it again. Then the act of destruction is considered constructive because you can't redo it until you rip it out. So Koreya is one of those melachot. Same thing is true with erasure, mochek. Erasing something is not a considered a constructive activity. It's only alminat lichtov. If I plan on rewriting something because I made a mistake or I want to write something else, so you erase in order to give you place to write, then it's mochek alminat lichtov is biblically prohibited. But if it's just erasure, that is not biblically prohibited. Midoraisa, it is mutter. The Rabbanan say it is prohibited. And there are many leniencies that the Rabbanan themselves allow. So here, we are dealing with an unusual type of case, where the act of ripping is done for a purpose. Example number one is chamato. Maze chema. What does that mean? No. That's a different word. Anger. Yes. Koreya. Right. Chema. Ufnei Haman. Chema. Anger. Exactly. So, a doctor will tell you, a psychologist will tell you, if you want to vent your anger, what do? Rip a phone book. It'll make you feel really good, and your anger will be reduced. So somebody who rips on Shabbos, based on the fact that they want to somehow vent their anger, or al meito, somebody passed away on Shabbos, and they didn't realize they did Kriya on Shabbos. That's what it means. So the Mishnah says, Kol HaMikalkelin Piturin. All forms of Mikalkel, of destruction, are exempt from Torah law. VaHaMikalkel Al Minat Litakein Shi'uro Kimitakein. But somebody who destroys for the purpose of what? Purpose of repairing, that is prohibited. And how do you measure whether you've done enough? Every single malacha has a shi'ur, has a minimum amount in order for you to be chayav on Shabbat. So what is the minimum amount of destroying that you will be held accountable if your intention is to what? To repair. Well, you measure it by how much repair is. So if it's considered, let's say, an inch, if it's 2 inches, whatever the halacha says, that's the amount of ripping that you would be held accountable for on Shabbos. On Shabbos. Now, the reason why the Mishnah simply states that even if you rip because you're doing the mitzvah of Kriya, is that a destructive action or a constructive action? When you're doing it for the mitzvah, it seems to be constructive. If you rip because you want to vent anger, doesn't that seem to be somewhat constructive as well? Okay, you don't, may not hear it, but everyone here agrees that if you rip because of what reason? You want to be mekayim the mitzvah of Kriya for a deceased, that is a positive action. So why does the Mishnah say that if you rip on Shabbos for the purpose of making Kriya, it's patur? The Mishnah says it's patur.
It would just be nice because the person just lost somebody.
No. That's not...
It depends if you're being broad or narrow, but constructive. You're not literally ripping in order to create something.
Correct. In this case, you wouldn't need anything to create because the act of ripping itself is not done for destructive purposes. When an Avel rips his or her shirt, she's not doing it to ruin the shirt. She's doing it to be mekayim a mitzvah, which is a positive action.
Is it creating a status?
No, no. The reason why is based on a broader machloket. There is a principle in Hilchot Shabbat called Milacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa. When you do a milacha, she'ena tzricha legufa. Which means, if you do a milacha, not for the generally stated purpose of this milacha. What is the general purpose of ripping in the Mishnah's thinking? What's the general purpose? Because you're a tailor and you want to repair it. You're a needlepoint expert, and you want to repair what you had done. That is the primary use of the melacha of Korea. If you do a melacha on Shabbat for some other reason, not because of the standard, reason as to why melacha is done, that is subject to a debate between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that milacha she'eina tzricha legufa is chayav on Shabbos. Is chayav. So I'm going to give you the standard case. This is not the standard case.
So this case of the Kriya is a final act of it has the
no doubt. But it's not the reason why the Mishnah thinks they ripped where? Where do they have to have ripped to establish? In the Mikdash, in the Mishkan. Because all of the 39 milachot are derived from activities in the Mishkan. So whatever a melacha was done for in the Mishkan defines its normal operative use. Anything else That's not the reason why they did it, and it's called a malacha sheni tzricha legufa. But just one second, you want to give the example which the Gemara quotes hundreds of times. Chofer guma. Somebody digs a hole in the backyard. What is normally the reason why you dig a hole in your backyard? To plant. Exactly. So what milacha do you call that? Choresh. That's plowing. You dig up the earth in order to put the seed in. But this person did not dig up the earth because he wanted to plow. It's because he wanted to play with the dirt. Hachofer guma ve'eino tzarich ela le'afra. Somebody dug a hole only because he wants to play with the sand. That's why he dug the hole. So that case is classified as malacha sheni tzricha legufa. Rabbi Shimon says, you're not allowed to do it midirabbanan. Midirabbanan. According to Torah law, a malacha sheni tzricha legufa is mutar. The rabbi said, don't do it. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufa is Chayav on a Da'oraita level. On a Da'oraita level. So now, when this Mishnah writes that so you all admitted to me that what is the circumstance in which they used Kriya in the Mishkan? When they were knitting what? The covers, or knitting some of the garments, and whoever is making, let's say, a shirt for the Kohen, and they would had to knit it, and somebody made a mistake, so they would rip it up and then start anew. That's when Korea was used in the Mishkan. Was Korea ever used in the Mishkan because you became an Avel? It was not. That's not, never, in the Mishkan, there would be no Avelus. So that case, where you do something of a constructive nature, but not for the constructive nature that was exactly in the Mishkan, the halacha is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you are chayav, and according to Rabbi Shimon, it is patur, aval asur midirabbanan. So, in this Mishnah, where the Mishnah writes, HaKoreya b'chamasova almeso, what does the Mishnah say? Kol hamikalkilin piturin. So, is this Mishnah following Rabbi Huda's opinion or Rabbi Shimon's opinion? They're following Rabbi Shimon. So, this is a Mishnah that is unnamed. Unnamed. This is a Stam Mishnah. Nobody's name doesn't say Divrei Rabbi Yehuda or Divrei Rabbi Shimon. So the editor of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, chose to include this Mishnah because it shows that what? He, the editor of the Mishnah, happens to agree with Rabbi Shimon in this particular case. So without Rebbe opening up his mouth on this issue, he gave away to us how he believed the halacha of melacha she'eina tzricha legufa, where you do a melacha for a different reason than that melacha was done in the mikdash. Rabbi Yehuda says you are chayav, you get stoned, whatever it is, and according to Rabbi Shimon, it's patur, no punishment midoraita, but the Rabbanan prohibited it. Fine. This is not my topic tonight. I am now going to ask you the question that we will focus on. This guy ripped his garment on Shabbos. Was he mekayim the mitzvah of Kriya or not?
Depends on why he ripped.
Was he mekayim the mitzvah of Kriya? He did it al meito. Oh. Somebody died in his house on Shabbos. Ah, that's why we're learning this Mishnah. In order for him to get credit for this mitzvah, what does he have to do? He has to be Mechal Shabbos. Because the act of kriya is a positive thing. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, he is chayav, he's guilty, and he wants to know, hey, did I fulfill my mitzvah or not? Even according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that you are patur, my question will be, did you fulfill the mitzvah or not?
Is it actually a mitzvah to tear kriya?
Of course there's a mitzvah to tear kriya. 100%. There's a separate siman in Shulchan Aruch, aside from Hilchot Avelut. It's called Hilchot Kriya. Yes, 100%. Ah, so that's our question. That's why I read this Mishnah to you, and I'm going to ask you, based on anything that we said up until now, would you say that he was fulfilled the mitzvah or did not fulfill the mitzvah? Think about it. What would you say?
Well, I thought that you said that the error was the that it was limited to stealing.
I didn't say that.
I said one opinion.
That was one opinion. So if the opinion is that it only applies to guzzle, right, stolen, because that's what the pasuk mentions, then the answer is you are yotzei the mitzvah of kriya. Okay. But let's take everybody else, who not only applies the principle of mitzvah haba b'avera only to theft, he applies it to what? To every time that you have a mitzvah coming about as an avera. So, what would you be your gut reaction? Has he fulfilled the mitzvah? Has he not fulfilled the mitzvah? No, because he violated an avera. Because he violated an avera. Yes, after Shabbos he takes a different garment and he rips it again. That's correct.
Why a different one?
Because the garment that it's okay. Because it's already ripped already. So how are you going
to
demonstrate? Yes, exactly. So the Mishnah made a statement. The Mishnah doesn't deal with this issue, whether you are yotzei the mitzvah or not. The Mishnah is in Shabbos. Its only concern is what? Whether you are mechal Shabbos or not. So the Mishnah said, you are not mechal Shabbos. Why? Because it's done for a different reason. The only way to be chayav for koreya on Shabbos, according to the Mishnah, is if you had to restitch something, so you rip it out and then re-sew it. But in this case, where you're doing it for the mitzvah, you are patur, you have not been mechal Shabbos.
And then you would have done, and then you would be.
Okay, so that's, we'll see. Would you now have, if you are not mechal Shabbos, but are you, no one says you're allowed to do it. The only debate is whether it's prohibited midoraita or prohibited only midrabanan. So if you violate Shabbos midrabanan, we can have the same question. Did you fulfill the mitzvah or not? Did you fulfill the mitzvah or not?
What about tearing things for food? You're ripping.
Okay, it's a good question. And the answer is, you're allowed to.
No, I know you're allowed to, but how does it pertain?
It doesn't pertain here, because the reason why we allow it, because certain milachot are relaxed when it comes for food enjoyment on Shabbos. Even on Shabbos. So ripping open a bag so that you can take out the cookies is, again, if it had been d'oraita, of course it would be usher. But since we paskin that melacha sheni tzricha legufa is only asur midrabanan, so under certain conditions, you're allowed to rip things.
So it does pertain to this little.
Correct.
It is for a different reason.
Right. But that's not mitzvah haba b'aveira issue.
Right.
Our issue is that it's a mitzvah haba b'aveira. So I look at the bracketed line where I the first bracketed line. Ba'un kome Rabbi Yosa. They asked a question in the name of Rabbi Yosa. Some of the language is a little different than the Gemara, because it's not this is not Talmud Bavli. This is Talmud Yerushalmi, studied in Palestine at the same time that Talmud Bavli was studied in Bavel. And we have adopted the rule that whenever there is a debate between Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yerushalmi, we usually follow the Bavli. Usually. Except if your name is Rambam. Rambam, I would say 40% of the time, follows the Yerushalmi against the Bavli.
What was the percentage?
For about 40% of the time, the Rambam followed the Yerushalmi. He was a trailblazer in that regard. So the question was asked of Rabbi Yossi, and he said, Lo chein amar Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rab Shimon ben Yehotzadak. Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yehotzadak, said, Matzah gezula eino yotze ba yidei chavaso b'pesach. If I steal matzah, I cannot fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah on Pesach. So the Gemara, this question is claiming that ripping a garment on Shabbat is the same thing as eating what? Stolen matzah. Why won't you fulfill the mitzvah with stolen matzah? Because it's a mitzvah habav avera. Here, the questioner, Rabbi Yosa, was asked thinking, well, you know what? I was Mechal Shabbos. So can I be Yotze the mitzvah? Should I be Yotze the mitzvah of Kriya or not? He thought, no. Omar Lon, he said to them, there's a difference. Taman Gufa Avera. Biram Hacha Hu Avar Avera. When you're dealing with a stolen item,
the stolen part
is on the heft, on the item. It is a stolen item. And you can never be mekayim a mitzvah with an item that has another name attached to it. What other name is attached to this piece of matzah? Stolen. When you do a malacha on Shabbos, such as ripping your garment, does anything get attached, any name get attached to the garment? No. Who violated the prohibition? The person. But the item itself is not impacted by what? By the fact that somebody was Mechal Shabbos. So the Yerushalmi here is establishing a very important principle. What is the principle being established? That the only time that we can claim mitzvah haba ba'aveira is if the item with which you want to do a mitzvah is tainted by being called, there's an aveira tainting the item itself. That can only come about with stealing. And what other thing is with what? No, Avodah Zarah is usually, it might be, but we already dealt, Tosis dealt with Avodah Zarah already. But what other thing is the Isur on the item? You all know, who said that? That's correct. Correct. She said food. Prohibited foods. Prohibited foods. So if you remember correctly, we did, 2 weeks ago, we did a Tosvot that raised the following question about matzah shel tevel. I ate matzah with grain from which I have not taken trumot ma'asrot. So what's the name of the isur? No, but what's the name of the isur? It's called tevel. Tevel means grain from which trumot and ma'asrot have not been taken. Tevel, where is the isur on? It's not on me. What is it? It's on the item. I am not allowed to eat something that is tevel. I am not allowed to eat something that is trefa. I am not permitted to eat something that is nevela. Therefore, Under those circumstances, the Gemara says that there is a very big difference between matzah gezula and ripping my garment on Shabbos in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of Korea. So the Yerushalmi says that all said and done, you will have fulfilled the mitzvah of Kriya. Even if you considered desecrating the Shabbat, which you are, either on a rabbinic level or perhaps even on a Doraita level, you're going to get credit for the mitzvah. Because we don't speak of this garment as a prohibited garment. We speak of you're not allowed to engage in a malacha using this garment. But we don't talk about prohibited garments on Shabbos. We talk about look at any of the malachot, right? Any of the malachot. You build a building on Shabbos, you don't talk, the building's prohibited. No. The workers, the construction workers, were mechal Shabbos. But the building itself doesn't become prohibited. So the Yerushalmi claims, mitzvah haba'a ba'aveira is only applied where the item itself is defined as gazul. Not if the person is a bar aveira. Yes.
So if you're wearing a shatnez garment, you couldn't tear free on that.
Excellent. Excellent. That is correct. If you wear a shatnez garment, that is in the item. That's because how does the Torah say, you know, you're not supposed to have woolen linen in the garment? Yes, excellent case. You try to be mekayim the mitzvah with a, let's use even the language we've been using here. If I steal a garment, and that's the garment I want to use to be mekayim the mitzvah of Kriya, you will not be mekayim the mitzvah. Because... No, it's not mitzvah haba b'aveira. Because the garment is not a... The garment is a stolen item. You will... Correct. It's mitzvah haba b'aveira because this item is identified what? As gazul, as a stolen item. Yes.
So, what if the kohen...
Once he's wearing a stolen garment, we will consider it as if he's wearing no garment. It will be mitzvah haba b'aveira. If a kohen worships with stolen big day kahuna, he will not get credit for the mitzvah. Everything he did will be pasul and have to be repeated. Right.
Gazul is not. Forget the fact that it affects it. It starts with a mitzvah, which is different than you're saying there's gazul, even though you're interpreting ultimately.
But here I did violate an avera by ripping the garment on Shabbos.
Right, but it's only like permissible to do. It's not permissible to exol anything, no matter what mitzvah.
Okay.
It's another piece of this. No?
You might be touching on something that we'll get to in a few minutes. Go to page number 2 for just a moment. And here is something photostated from the Rav's Shiurim on Masechas Sukkah, where the Rav sees a debate between two of the Balei HaTosafot and uses the principle that we just discussed to say this is the core of the debate. Here is the case. I steal your lulav before Sukkot. Okay? You call the cops, you call the FBI, you call the CIA. Nobody can find that lulav. No one. So what do you do once you are aware of the fact that my chances of recovering my lulav are slim and none? You give up. What is that called? Yeush. Good. So now, when I steal something and you, the owner, are miyaesh, it becomes mine. Halachically, it becomes mine. That's going to be a machloikis between two of the Balei HaTosafot. Can I use this lulav to fulfill my mitzvah of lulav? After all, legally I own it. So let's see what it is.
It wasn't a veira that was done.
What?
It still isn't. The veira still was done, even
though. That's that point so now. Point now we're going to see. Look at it where I bracketed for you the Rav's words. Belulav hagazul shenitya ashu habe'alim. A lulav that was stolen, that the owners gave up any hope of ever recovering their lulav. Cholkim Rabbeinu Tam v'Rabbeinu Yitzchak. These are, one is Rashi's son-in-law and one is his grandson. The Ri was his son-in-law, Rabbeinu Tam was his grandson. Im hagazlan yachol lotzeit bo mitzvat lulav. If the gazlan, the thief, can be mekayin in the mitzvah of lulav, leman de'amar yeush bichdi kone. According to the opinion that yeush alone, yeush bichdi means only yeush, is kone. There is a machloikis, whether it is kone or not. Or do you need something else in order to enable this lulav to be transferred to the ownership of the thief? But we're operating that yeush alone is significant. Ayin b'tosvos bavakama dibur hamaschal omar Rabbeinu Tam sover sha'af alpi sheyeush b'chdi kone, even though yeush alone, your giving up hope, enables me to acquire the lulav. Ein hagazlan yotzei belulav zeh. The gazlan, me, the thief, cannot fulfill my mitzvah. Why? Adayin hu pasul mipnei mitzvah haba ba'avera. It's still a mitzvah haba ba'avera. Who said that? Rabbi Nitan. Rabbeinu Tan. Rabbeinu Yitzchak Cholek V'Sover She'achein Yotze. Rabbeinu Yitzchak says no. Once you, the owner of the lulav, has what? Has been miyaesh, under those circumstances, he can be Yotze, the mitzvah of lulav, with this stolen lulav. That's what the Ri says. That's a famous machloikas. I have plenty of copies. You don't have to. There's plenty of copies. If you don't want to. They're all over there.
Thank you.
Well, Rabbeinu Yitan. Yitzchak. Rabbeinu Yitzchak. Is Ri. Rabbeinu Yitzchak. It's okay. So the Rav writes, Yesh lehavin et yisod pluktatam. Our challenge is to understand philosophically or conceptually what is their debate. V'nira, it appears to me, sheyesh lefaresh et hamachloket hazot b'shnei ofanim. We can explain the debate between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri in two different ways. Aleph, first way, Hayushalmi b'Masechet Shabbat, that's the one that we just learned, Hayushalmi in Masechet Shabbat, al halacha shel mi shekara al meito b'Shabbat, yotzei yedei mitzvat kriya, he will fulfill his mitzvah of kriya, afal pi shehu chayav mita, even though he is chayav mita, according to whom? Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says he's not chayav, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, why will he be chayav misa? B'nei shechilel et haShabbat. And the Yerushalmi makshe lama yotzei. Why has he fulfilled the mitzvah of kriya? Umayshna meha'ochel matzah gezula bePesach. She'eino yotzei yidei mitzvat achilas matzah. what might be the difference between not eating matzah gzula, which if you eat matzah gzula, you don't fulfill the mitzvah, and in this case of being koreya, where you will not, where you are, excuse me, if you eat matzah gzula, you do not fulfill the mitzvah, but if you rip a garment on Shabbos, you do fulfill the mitzvah. What might be the difference? Zeh lishono hateirut sham. Here is a quote of what the answer is. Taman, in the case of matzah, gufa avera, a stolen piece of matzah in and of itself, the avera is staring you in the face. Biram hacha, however, here, in relationship to kriya on Shabbos, hu avar avera. He violated an avera, but the item, the garment, is not declared as a garment of prohibition of an avera. Kach ani omer, so too says the Yerushalmi, hotzi matzah me rishus hayachid l'rishus harabim, eino yotze bal chavasa bePesach. Do you not fulfill the mitzvah of Pesach if you do the following? You put a kizayis of matzah in your mouth, in your house. You now go outside into a public domain and you swallow it in a rishus harabim. So when you swallow the matzah in the rishus harabim, what exactly did you do? What milacha did you violate? Hotza'ah. You violated carrying. Right? Because you can only be violating carrying if you stop. You have to bring it into motion in a private domain, and it has to come to a stop in a what? In a public domain. So if I were to walk out of my house and carry this in a public domain, but never stop, just come straight to your house, according to Torah law, I don't violate a thing. Because I have not done the malacha of hotza'ah. Hotza'ah means transferring from what? From one domain to the other. You have to have the movement in one, the resting in the other. So how did I bring this matzah to rest? I swallowed it. Once I swallowed it, it ain't going anyplace else. So asks the Yerushalmi, you mean to tell me I am not going to, of course I'm going to be the kind of mitzvah matzah. Why? Because the mitzvah matzah has not been labeled or stamped as an avera. Who has done the avera? Me, the person who put it into my mouth in my house and swallowed it in a public domain. So the principle of the Yerushalmi is that.
Is that different if I had picked up the matzah, carried it into the Shabbat?
And stopped?
Stopped and...
No, that's not any different. It's not that would be prohibited. Yes.
But we do have a concept. If somebody cooks on Shabbat, the food that they've cooked, we're not allowed to eat it on Shabbat.
That's correct. You are not allowed to eat it. But it's not prohibited food. One of the telltale signs whether something is in itself prohibited or not is if it can become mutter at a later date. Mm-hmm. After Shabbos, what happens?
No problem.
Everybody's allowed to eat it.
Even if they cooked it on Shabbos?
Even if they cooked it on Shabbos. That's the way we pass them. You're allowed to. Mm-hmm. So now, let's see how the Rav will tie in this to the machloikis between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. HaYerushalmi heiniach et ha-yisod lehavanat kol ha-inyan shel mitzvah haba b'aveira. The Yerushalmi posited a fundamental principle about mitzvah haba b'aveira. Aveira be'eit ha-mitzvah eino yisod din zeh. And aveira, at the moment that you do a mitzvah, is not the definition of what mitzvah haba b'aveira is, according to the Yerushalmi. Chet bevat achat im asiyat hamitzvah, transgression with the fulfillment of the mitzvah at the exact same time, eino posel et hamitzvah, does not disqualify it.
Isn't that
Korea? What? No, tevel is It is correct, but there's another reason, according to the Yerushalmi, why it's mitzvah baba vera. Why? Because tevel is on the item. The item is called a davar ha'asur. That's what he writes. Rak ha'cheftza ha'gazul dehu gufa avera hu pasul mitzvah. You cannot use for a mitzvah an article, an item that is identified as what? As an avera item. Ha'cheftza shel gzeila mehava cheftza shel avera. An item that was stolen is an article of an avera. Ulefikach hu pasul mitzvah. Aval hakoreya beisur b'shabbos al meso. But somebody who rips his garment for a deceased on Shabbos, or ha'ochel matzah agav hotzo mirushus l'rabim from mirushus l'rabim, or somebody is violating the Shabbos by eating the matzah in a rishus harabim, yotzim yidei chovatam, b'mnei she'ein ha'cheftza, cheftza shel aveira. Because the garment, or the matzah in this case, is not called an article of an aveira. Ulefize, yesh lomar, debazeh pligi, ri v'rabbeinu tam. Lefi ri, hashem shel gazul, Haposel et hachefzo lemitzvah talui bedin gzela bedin imamanos. As to whether or not this lulav which I stole from you is going to be identified as what? A stolen lulav, what does that depend on? Depends on dine gzela. Kozman shebedine mamonot, page 3. Hachefetz hu gazul. Who nifsal gam le mitzvah. As long as the item is considered stolen, it's disqualified for the mitzvah. Aval im yeyush bichdi kone. But if yeyush, if you are now miyaesh, you gave up hope of ever retrieving your lulav, memela paka gam kein hashem shel pasul hagazul binogea le mitzvot. How do I know it's not guzzle? Because I'm allowed to keep it. The Torah would never allow me to keep what? Something that's stolen. But the answer is, once you are miyaesh, it's no longer stolen. Therefore, says the Ri, you are mikayim the mitzvah. Once you are miyaesh, I can be mikayim the mitzvah. That's the Ri's interpretation. Aliba de Rabbeinu Tam, Hashem shel gazul bechefza haposlola mitzvot eino talui b'dinei mamonot. The Rabbeinu Tam says no. Just because al pidin, I am allowed to keep it, that does not mean that the item is what? Not stolen. It still is stolen. What am I allowed to keep? A stolen item. I don't have to give you back your item which I stole. But it's still stolen.
Right.
So if the item is still stolen, says Rabbeinu Tam, even if you are miyaesh, can I be mekayim the mitzvah? Absolutely not.
I'm not giving that tara back, but hold it. We're not changing
its status. So even though in dine mamonot, in halachic mamonot considerations, I get to keep this etru alulav, and even if I want to do tshuva, I just have to pay you money. I don't have to give you back the item itself. Nonetheless, says the Rabbeinu Tam, that significant change that comes about as a result of your being miyaesh can't change the fact that it was stolen.
Will paying your money change
the fact? No, it'll never.
And if you paid the money, you didn't, but you paid the money, and now you try to sell it to someone else?
Oh, someone else is going to involve another halacha called Shinui Rishut. Yeyush and Shinui Rishut is another din. We're not talking about that case. It's a very good question. But we're not talking about that tonight.
But what if we love that if it's the other day, is there a time limit?
No, there's no time limit.
How do I know that?
Because somebody heard that two witnesses heard that you were Miyayesh. Now I'm allowed to use it, according to the Ri. Because it's no longer stolen. Because if it was still a stolen item, how am I allowed to keep it? This is mine, and it's so much that it is mine that it fulfills which requirement? Lochem. Absolute ownership. This really belongs to me. If it really belongs to me, says the Ri, it can't be called stolen. So, good. Sure he can do tshuva. Tshuva he can do by paying for it and asking for him mechila. Are you mochel me that I stole your lulav? No, it might be. That's why, but if you do tshuva, let's say before Yantav, you did tshuva to enable him to do the mitzvah. Yes.
Please clarify. I know we said it, but I just want to say this. The issue of the word is, it's the other person who, it's Mr. A who lost. You stole A, whatever. B stole from A.
Yeah.
A is the one who's given up, and then B is the one who. So how does he, I know we said it, but I just don't remember. How does he know that A gave up?
Two witnesses heard him say it, and will come to me or to Bezdin and testify. We heard him, and therefore the Goslin is allowed to keep it. Yes. And use it even for a mitzvah, according to the Ri.
Only.
According to the Rabbeinu Tam, no. So, the principle which was established in the Yerushalmi helps explain this debate. Namely, that according to the Ri, why are you allowed to use this for a mitzvah after Yeyush? Because it's no longer called a stolen lulav. Rabbeinu Tam says, I'm sorry, my good friend Ri. It is still called a stolen item, despite the fact that I can use it for the mitzvah. It's absurd. I am allowed to use a stolen lulav. It's borders on the absurd. Logically, the Ri is right. That if this lulav belongs to me, it's not stolen anymore. That's the logic. Yeah. No, he says you cannot. The Ri says you can use it for the mitzvah. Why is it not stolen? Because it belongs to me. Okay. Rabbeinu Tam says, even though it belongs to me, it's still considered a stolen item. Once it's a stolen item, it is disqualified based on mitzvah b'av avera. Correct. Yes. Yeah. The Gemara gives another case where this principle will be established. Go to page number 4 for a minute. Now, depends what. If it's stolen, the item is disqualified for a mitzvah. If it's tevel, the item is disqualified. But if you just were mechal Shabbos by carrying the matzah, that doesn't make it mitzvah bar bavera, because we don't call this matzah a prohibited item. We call you a Mechal Shabbos for carrying the matzah in the street. But the matzah is not tainted by an Avera. Therefore, mitzvah bar Avera does not apply. The same, yeah?
Just make sure to take this to its logical extreme. So on Pesach, let's say you have a Sudat mitzvah, and you try to fulfill that eating trade food. You can't do that.
That is correct.
But if you try to fulfill it eating chametz, you could do it, because that's not a prohibited food, because it's going to be allowed after.
Okay, so your question is a good one, but what's always the best answer? Machlokes. How to look at chametz? I don't want to get involved in that now, but there is a famous debate as to how to look at the Isur of chametz. By right, you blurted out what should be the halacha, that the item is not a prohibited item. Why? Because it's only for 7 days. After that, you're allowed to eat pes. You're allowed to eat chametz. However, some consider chametz as a prohibited item based on the fact that in the Beit HaMikdash, chametz is prohibited all year. Except for two korbanot. 10 breads of the korban todah and the 2 breads that are brought on Shavuot, the Shtei Alechem. Other than that, every time you have bread in the Mikdash, it has to be matzah. So that's why there is a debate.
Why is
that? Why? Because the Torah said so. I have no idea. There is much philosophy about it. Yes. So now look at the bracketed lines on page 4. And start towards the end of the line, 6 words before the line ends. Oh, it's talking about hadassim. It's talking about hadassim. So hadassim, which are stolen, are no good, are dried out, same thing as lulav. Then the Mishnah has a case that is unique to the hadassim. Oh, shahayu anavav merubot me'alav. There are anavava berries. We have never seen such hadassim because they don't send pasul hadassim from Israel in a plastic sealed bag to America. They don't. Why would they? But the Mishnah says, if there are more berries on a hadas branch than leaves, the hadas is pasul. However, says the Mishnah, v'im miatan kosher. But if you reduce the number of berries, and now there are more leaves than there are berries, then it's okay. V'ein mima'atin b'yom tov. But you can't pluck them on Yom Tov.
You
can't pluck the berries. Now what do you think the question is? I did pluck the berries on Yontiv. Can I use these hadassim? The answer is yes. Why? Because the Avera is not on the hadas. The Avera is on me. I was Mechal Yontiv or Shabbos. Let's say it was Shabbos. I was Mechal Shabbos. But the item remains kasher. So this additional case of the Mishnah happens to support this principle of the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi formulated that principle that if you have chilul aveira of the person, that does not necessarily direct our attention to mitzvah bab aveira. It requires the item itself being a mitzvah haba ba'aveira, an item being a davar ha'asur in order to create and generate the psul of mitzvah haba ba'aveira. Yeah. And I'm not going to read it inside, but on page 5, you have a tshuva of the Ksav Sofer, who says in 600 words what I said in 20. Namely, why is it that if I reduce the berries on Yom Tov, you will fulfill the mitzvah, or reduce them on Shabbos? So the Ksav Sofer was the Chassam Sofer's son. He was also a very big Talmud Chacham. And he wrote on this tshuva, you'll look at it when you have some free time, how he basically quotes this as well. Basically quotes it as well. All right. Stop here. Continue next to Bach.